Warning, Nick. Radio.
Hello, this is Cindy F. Solomon joining you today for the Global Product Management Talk from the San Francisco Bay Area. Today is August 13th, 2012. If you're in the United States, we are joined today by two Australians, and it is Tuesday, August 14th at 9 a.m. in Sydney, Australia. Welcome back, Adrian Tan, our original co-host.
Thanks for having us, Cindy. Hey. Looking forward to chatting.
And today our speaker is Nicholas Muldoon, who is the Agile Evangelist at Atlassian. And he is today in the Dallas, Texas area at Agile 212, which is the biggest Agile event in the world, I'm told. Hi, Nick.
Hello, Cindy. Hello, Adrian. Thank you very much for having me. It is the biggest Agile event in the world, Cindy.
Yes. So let me tell you about the Global Product Management Talk. Each week we feature an expert guest discussing questions with the co-host and Twitter participants broadcast live over Blog Talk Radio. If you are joining us on Twitter, please use the hashtag POMD, PROD MGMT TALK. That is also the URL for our website where you can get information about our weekly broadcast as well as Twitter transcripts in the archives of our talks. We have over 50 talks since we started broadcasting live. The Global Product Management Talk is for passionate product professionals and business owners who want to teach, learn, and network about what it takes to produce successful products. Everyone is invited to participate online at Twitter or by calling us at the posted number, including agile practitioners, user experience people, designers, content and community managers, product marketing, brand management, program managers, project managers, developers, customer service and support. We believe it takes a village to build a product and to handle everything to guarantee successful products and companies. And everyone who's involved with developing, designing, and launching products, innovations, and startups throughout the entire product lifecycle process. We want to thank our sponsors. We're brought to you this week by the AIPMM, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management. You can visit them at AIPMM.com. They promote worldwide excellence in product management education and provide value to individual members, corporate members, and sponsors through training, education, certification, and professional networking opportunities. I'm pleased to have supported them in launching their new mentor matching program, where they are matching mentors within the product profession. The AIPMM 7-Phase Product Lifecycle Framework is a vendor-independent product management and product marketing standard that takes into account best practices used in a wide range of companies and industries. The framework is part of the AIPMM product body of knowledge, the ProdBox, that was developed with input from over 50 experts and endorsed by more than half a dozen consulting companies. So check them out at AIPMM.com. There is an upcoming webinar this Wednesday on building insanely excellent products. And I will be on that webinar. Join me on Wednesday. Okay, today we are talking about Agile. The product manager's role in the software development process is twofold. It involves customer discovery and product discovery. A product manager's job is not to be right. It is to find out how to get to right and fast. Getting a new product into the hands of customers is not simply a matter of building something. Of course, it's much more than that. Today, we are joined by Nicholas Muldoon, who is the Agile Evangelist at Atlassian. And he will be talking about what is happening at Agile 212, about Scrum and Kanban, about the future of software development, and about product management for agile software development teams, how to introduce agile to other parts of the business, including marketing, support, and operations. Welcome, Nick. Adrian is joining us from Australia. You can follow Nick at N-I-C-K-M-U-L-D-O-O-N follow Adrian at BrainMates, BrainMates, and follow me, Cindy F. Solomon, at Cindy F. Solomon, and also at Prod Management Talk. Welcome, Nick. Do you have to give us some more background about yourself?
All right. My name's Nicholas Muldoon, obviously. I work with an Australian software development company called Atlassian, and we make tools such as Jira and Greenhopper, which help agile software development teams, but also other agile teams. This is a particularly exciting global product management talk for me because I'm actually live from Agile 2012. And Agile 2012, Agile as a conference is actually, it tours around North America, and every year it's in a different location. This year we are just outside of Dallas in Texas in a place called Grapevine, and there's about 1,800 folks here from all across the world that are range from people who are new to Agile and really trying to learn Agile, to people that are practicing Agile and doing so for a couple of years, to those people that are really advanced Agile, that are the consultants helping people and indeed helping other teams adopt and transform to Agile. So that's where I'm hailing from at the moment, from Agile 2012 in Grapevine.
Excellent.
I suppose my real interest in getting involved in this discussion was to share some of the Agile world with the product managers out there.
So what are the topics that are currently in Agile 2012? What are people talking about or presenting on?
There's a lot, obviously. Agile 2012 being such a large conference, at any one time, there's about 13 different tracks of work going on. So you can imagine distributed teams, enterprise Agile, user experience, and indeed user experience is one thing that's grown a lot over the past couple of years and is now very much at the forefront of people's minds and very popular here. But then it's also actual software development practices, which is perhaps not so much of interest to the product managers that are listening, but certainly if they have a bit of an understanding about that, it may make conversations with developers easier.
Sure.
One of the interesting things that I've seen so far here for the first time, and what we're really seeing at the moment in Agile, is an introduction or an adoption of Agile by people beyond software development, things in areas like product marketing particularly. And that's some of the topics of conversation which are really interesting here at Agile 2012.
And can you share with us how are product marketers using Agile in their practice?
Sure. Product management, product marketing, you're really focused on the deliverable at the end of the day. You want to get that value in the hands of your customer. And to ensure it's valuable, you want to validate what you're trying to do with customers. When it comes to marketing specifically, there's a lot of activities that surround a release, for instance. There's a lot of ongoing activities that product marketing people involve themselves in. And what we're seeing these days is marketing teams employing either a Scrum or a Kanban approach to Agile to actually manage their work, track their work, and identify ways to continually improve their effectiveness over time.
I'm trying to visualize how that might work. Is it a whole bunch of activities that they have to do, and is it just a way to prioritize some of that activity? Do they engage with other people across the business? Do they build individual teams so that they could release some of their marketing work? How does it work?
Yeah, so there are a number. If you look at releases, just a release of a product, for instance, you can imagine that there's a checklist of tens of items. In some cases, there might be hundreds of items for a very large release. And you obviously need to prioritize all that work and figure out what needs to get done, what's really important. And if we don't have time, because releases, they're time-bound, right? And so if we don't have time, what's the stuff that we don't need to get done? And so actually using a board with a backlog, and a backlog is just a list of those issues that you've got to get done. And use that board, order that board, and then start executing and working on those towards that release date. I think it's grown in popularity because, you know, as the marketing product marketing teams grow, as they do need to interact with different people across the organization, and perhaps in shared services like getting graphic design work done or emails, for instance, they really need to manage what they're doing to make sure that they deliver that value when it's appropriate.
how do you think they get alignment between, you know, what they're trying to release versus what the development team's trying to release? How do you get that? How would that feed into the sort of product marketing, sort of agile process? Is there a tool?
It's not so much about the tools, I don't think, as it is about the process. There's a movement on at the moment to really validate ideas with customers prior to building anything. Eric Ries calls this the build, measure, learn cycle, and in his book, The Lean Startup. And that really seems to be taking off and getting a lot of attention. Marketing and product marketing and product management are now working together much more closely than ever before and bringing developers into those conversations with customers. Now, you can do that obviously you can do it via social media, via Twitter, for instance, or LinkedIn. You can do it via surveys, customer interviews, but now more than ever, it's easier to get alignment across engineering, product management, and product marketing to really ensure what we're delivering is the right thing at the right time.
Is that outside of the agile process, though? You know, because product management starts its work before an agile development team engages. And are you saying that you're bringing the developers outside of the development process and more into the product management process?
I don't know how to describe it like that, but I certainly think kind of what you describe in my mind in an agile world, we call it a sprint zero. It's that work that's preparing the backlog they're going to do before the development. I think while that's popular, it's actually going away in favor of having developers much more closely related, and so the designer or the user experience person will be there for day one. And so in that sort of sense, longer really a sprint zero, it's just sprint one, but what is our user story? Well, our user story is a very well-defined MVP, you know, and that's what we're trying to get at. And then beyond that, we start taking that MVP, user stories that indeed we will build and validate with our customers week to week or fortnight to fortnight, month, and rock value to customers that we know that we're actually giving them what they other than delivering something at the end that wasn't what they were looking for.
Right.
We are actually asking or answering Q1, which was, is Agile only for software development teams? From my perspective, and perhaps play a little bit of devil's advocate, because really my forte has been product marketing, it looks to me like what's happening in Agile marketing is that the engineers are taking marketing into their own hands. And either they don't have resources or they're saying, we haven't been able to collaborate well with marketing because we've had different focuses and even a different language. So if we incorporate agile processes into the marketing, then we can easier understand what marketing needs from us at what time, and we can make this a lot more efficient than it has been.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. Like, at the end of the day, what are we doing? We're bringing everyone together and using the same language, the same terminology. And originally, it was just engineering, and then engineering and testers and QA grew into Agile. And then product management really got involved in that. Now we're seeing it growing beyond the realms of this strictly product development team into much deeper roots across the whole organization. I mean, you'll see Agile in support teams providing customer service. And they are one of the ways that, indeed, product managers and development teams get feedback about the product from the customers. You know, if you're getting a whole lot of bugs coming through, for instance, you want to make sure that that information is shared in a timely manner, i.e. as quickly as possible, with the development team, with product management, and indeed with product marketing, because everyone might have to get involved to respond to a critical bug, for instance. You know, if there's a critical bug, well, the development team, they need to know about it and have it on their backlog. So the product manager is going to get involved and validate that. And then marketing might need to respond to it.
But how is that different normally to responding to bugs? Are you saying that without the agile process, potentially these bugs might just sit there and customer service or support may not have an avenue to get those bugs resolved?
That's one of the key reasons that they're trying to move from waterfall to agile is to be able to respond more quickly to the needs of their customers.
I guess, typically, I've been involved in lots of different types of projects, whether it's waterfall or agile, and I like the fact that there's a focus on getting feedback quickly and certainly resolving the issues. But I'm not quite sure whether, and again, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate, that not responding in a timely manner to customer, I guess, problems and issues once a product's released is actually sort of a waterfall problem. It's probably just really bad business process. Do you know what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say, yeah, you know, you can't sort of blame waterfall because nobody responded to the customer issue. I just think that that's just bad business.
When I look at Agile in marketing, it's best practices. It's just the right way to do stuff. Maybe we didn't call it Agile before, and maybe there aren't a lot of teams that are doing it right.
Exactly.
One of the key things with Agile is that you're looking for ways to continually improve. I think that there is an Agile best practice today, but the Agile best practice today is not the same as what it will be tomorrow or 6 months from now. And from team to team, you can't implement what worked at company A or what worked at team A and necessarily expect it to work. You can certainly do Scrum by the book and you fail miserably, right? And so what works really well for your team, you've got to continually hone and practice your skills and try and improve what you're trying to do for your customer, your market, your development team. And I think that's a really important note as well.
But is that Agile, though? I mean, that's just, you know, just generally that's how we should work. Should we call it Agile?
Well, that's a great point that you make, Adrian, because I think today, if you're not doing Agile software development, you're not doing software development right. If you're not doing Agile product development, you're not doing product development right. You know, I mean, it is now the de facto standard. And so if you're not there today, I mean, and we see this a lot with our customers, they're trying to make that transition if they're not already there and get the benefits of Agile. And so what we're trying to help people do is get the benefits of Agile without a whole lot of pain and turmoil in that process. Because there is a lot of change, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's really valid. I'm not certainly discounting the fact that Agile development brings a lot of merit, brings a lot of customer input in processes previously that might not have engaged as heavily. But some of the stuff, when you expand it beyond that development process into, for example, as you said, customer service, you know, responding to customers in a timely manner, in my opinion, or I mean, and you can call it whatever you want, whether it's Agile or non-Agile, is just generally what you should be doing as an organization. You know, if you're not doing that, then you're obviously not supporting your customers well. And maybe Agile brings a different sort of focus to it, but I'm just simply saying that I don't get the benefits of coining it Agile when in actual fact that it's the stuff that people should be doing.
So I think, Adrian, the thing that I appreciate about Agile is it gives everyone the same language. We're all doing the same process as the developers, and so there's been this historic disconnect between developers and marketing. We don't talk the same language. We don't have the same view of the world, and Agile does away with that. So we're all talking the same language. We're all having the same view, with a focus on getting the product out the door and delighting customers. I agree. Before there was Agile, we used to call it project management. We had project managers who were imposing the scheduling and the deadline and walking between marketing and the engineers and speaking understanding about the backlog and the feature creep and everything else and translating that to marketing and making that all work. So Agile, I think, just makes it more efficient.
I'm not disagreeing with anything anybody's saying. I'm just merely looking in and saying, you know, there's a new and look at the Agile language is great, and if you know everybody's applying it in various parts of the organization, and you say that it means that everyone has some consistency, then that's fantastic. I'm just looking at different organizations and perhaps, you know, my career, and simply saying, right, okay, so now today we've just got a new name for it, because, you know, 10 years ago when I was building product, I mean, I still build product, and when there was, you know, lots of customer feedback and problems, I was certainly, as a product manager, jump onto it. And certainly there was a lot of focus on making sure that products in market with bugs are resolved quickly.
Shout out to our Twitter participants. Yep. Welcome Jen at Roadmap Warrior. Welcome My Biz Marketer. Welcome Camila Franco. Teresa Torres says, I think the key distinction is that Agile is a process that makes it easier for you to respond quickly. And I think that's a great bottom line.
I did catch the tail end of that with the comment there about the efficiency. And I do have a good anecdote for that. There was a support organization, a customer service team I was speaking with, and they adopted Kanban to assist them in actually identifying the work that they had to get done. And over the course of the 2 months that it took them to adopt and get used to the new process, they actually saw a 30% improvement in throughput. They didn't change the size of the team. All they did was change the process and use Kanban, use Agile, to visualize what was going on, to ensure that the team members were focusing on one item of work at a time rather than, you know, picking up three or four different customer support requests. And they tracked their progress the whole time. And it was a huge win for them.
Excellent. I'd like to take you back to the start of the process, if that's okay. And that's the product, I guess, development process. And you talked about having a sprint zero where you essentially do a lot of your customer discovery and you bring in not just the product management teams, but every other teams that are part of that delivery process as well. And at that start of that journey, I mean, we talk a lot about testing the product with customers. What about testing other components of the product, like the business model, the pricing structure, the way that you extract value out of your customers, essentially?
Oh, yeah.
Can you shed some light around that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was interesting. I was speaking with Luke Holman from Innovation Games here yesterday afternoon. And
lucky you.
Yeah, I know. It was great. For those that aren't familiar, Innovation Games, there's a whole host of them. Basically, you can validate ideas with your customers. You can figure out how much customers would be willing to pay for certain features, what features are important. And I think taking advantage of tools like that is really key in doing some of this early stage validation before you've gone and built anything. Internally, what we've done at Atlassian in the past is we've done paper prototyping, and we'll show paper prototypes to our customers. We'll do very low fidelity mock-ups. So in terms of functionality, that's one thing that you can do. And then on the other side, you know, how do you get that message right? Can you put together some blog posts or a website to provide your customers or your potential customers with an idea of what they'll be getting, what their value is, and then identify what they'd be willing to pay?
And would you consider that part of Sprint Zero, or are you thinking that might be outside that process?
No, I think that's part of just regular work.
I mean,
So I don't see it as being Sprint Zero so much as these days.
Right.
It's just par for the course, right? We get the whole team
right.
involved in this process. It's
yep.
not the product manager and the product marketing manager that are doing this in a bubble, right? They're engaging
yep.
the whole development team in this process and assigning different tasks to developers as well, right? Like, you know, one developer might be doing a spike while a designer's sitting down with customers, while the product marketer is writing a website to try and actually sell an idea before it's been built.
And so how does the engineer get involved in all of that sort of testing? Are they part, are they sitting there observing, or are they doing some of the testing themselves? Because you talked about bringing everybody along the journey, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly the engineers are involved when it comes to things like paper prototyping. I mean, the
yeah.
ideas aren't in one person's head. And
yeah.
if you can get as many people involved and looking at the problem as possible, then you've got a much better, you know, you've got much better chances of arriving at a solution quicker.
Right.
And I think, you know, from one of the things that I've seen over the years is that developers don't like to be told what to build. And that's what we're trying to do in Agile.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to say, here's what the problem is. Here's what the customer's problem is. How do we best solve this problem?
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. But one thing that comes to mind then is that it sounds like, you know, it's great that everybody's being involved early up front. It's great that people can share ideas. But does that sort of dilute this concept of roles and responsibilities in a business or an organization when everyone's doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that?
Oh, I definitely think it does, yes. I really think it does break down those boundaries a lot. We're asking, certainly in our scenario, we are asking a lot more of our engineers than we did 3 or 4 years
yeah.
ago. And they have to be much better. It's not that we want generalists. We want people that are okay at everything. We want people that have really strong skills in some key areas, and we want them to come
mm-hmm.
together and help solve this problem together. Now, there's stuff that a product manager will bring to the discussion that, I mean, they will bring to the discussion the broad customer consensus, you know, the vision for the product,
the engineer generally doesn't have that, but they have the deep technical knowledge about how we could solve this problem.
Yep.
And we're just bringing them all together at the one time.
I'm going to ask you something quite controversial. So do you think maybe there's no need for product management? Because if your engineers start to take on some of the skill sets of product managers and vice versa, maybe there's no such thing as a product manager, and maybe there's no even such thing as an engineer. Am I just going there?
No, I don't think so, right? I mean, okay, I'll concede this. I think at certain stages, like, I mean, Cindy and I have been fortunate to meet people at the SF Startup Product Talks, and some of the people there, they're really wearing all of those hats. But they're in a team of one, or a team of two, or a team of three.
Mm.
And what works there, you know, them wearing four or five hats and trying to be do everything, will only get you so far. And I think you still want to have those people that have deep knowledge and experience. I mean, Cindy mentioned earlier the product management body of knowledge. I certainly don't expect any of the engineers to have that level of depth in the product management world. And then I'd be on the other hand, I'd be totally shocked if a product manager had the serious coding skills to fix all the bugs and create all the features. So I will concede that it might be suitable in smaller companies or in startups.
Right.
But for any sort of scale, I just don't think it really works. You need a product manager. You need a strong product manager that knows that vision, knows the customers well, and can drive the product forward.
Excellent. Well, you know, the only reason why I raise this is I know that there's been lots of discussion about product managers learning how to code and stepping into that engineering realm. And now, just talking to you, I hear that engineers are stepping more into that product management realm. Look, there's no right or wrong answer. You're right. And different businesses require different types of people and roles and responsibilities. But it's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
So, and you raise the point that I've been really thinking about this idea of a product professional, of someone that has an expertise in one area of the product success, but has an overview of everything that it takes and who they need to interact with and what expertise or knowledge area is important at different phases of the product. And I disagree with you, Nicholas. I think that every developer should have a deep knowledge of the product management education, because I think it will just increase the success of the product and what I call product integrity, that the product will be embedded with the customer and the user experience from the beginning of the design and at every point.
But then how far do you go, right? Like, if you have that product professional, Cindy, do you just say that, okay, well, every engineer's got to have a deep product management, they've got to have deep knowledge of product management, so we send them on a training course and now they're awesome product managers? But then in doing that, we've let the skills like engineering, like performance, for instance, performance is a key thing. How do we make our system perform at scale? Oh, well, we don't have anyone to do that. Well, who's going to do that? Are you now going to train the product professional in how to actually make a performant, scalable system? I don't know.
I'm thinking it more in terms of an education. Like if in the legal profession, everyone has to study the basics.
I totally agree with that.
To have a foundation to understand every place that the product, everything that's required to get that product out the door, including long term, what happens when you need to sunset that product? That is a developer issue.
Oh, yeah, no, look, I totally agree with you. I think having a base-level understanding is fantastic. One of the things that we do at Atlassian to facilitate that is we put everyone through a boot camp, right? So every new hire, everyone that starts, development, support, whatever, they go through boot camp. And that basically gives them in the vicinity of 30 or 40 classes that they do over the course of 6 weeks about the business. So you learn from a support engineer how they provide support. You learn from a QA engineer how they actually test the product. You learn from a product manager what they do day-to-day and how they validate ideas. You speak with product marketing about how you actually write blogs and how do you be a voice for the customer. So I think giving everyone in the company that base-level understanding is absolutely key.
Yeah. I think Cindy was differentiating between sort of knowledge, information, versus skill set. being able to do it. Yeah, yeah. And in our experience, certainly we've trained lots of engineers in product management, so they understand how to interact with product managers as well.
Mm.
Not that they've practiced product management, but they certainly know how to certainly understand our perspective in any case.
Excellent.
So,
we have some tweeters participating here. Teresa Torres says, the concept in T-shaped people might be helpful. Engineers should have deep technical skills but broad exposure to products.
Yeah.
I think we're in agreement on that.
Yeah.
And Jen says that they say the product management should act like the CEOs of our products. So she thinks that the development team should feel like shareholders, all empowered.
That's a nice way of looking at it.
Yeah, Jen comes up with the greatest thing. Jen, thanks. That's awesome. Let's move on to, I think we have hammered on Q1. I think we've also been speaking to Q2, which was how can product managers incorporate feedback from customers and validate ideas without being a bottleneck for developers? I don't know if we want to go into that, Nick. You're going to have to come back when we take that as the topic of the full hour conversation.
Okay.
I want to jump over to hear about the highlights of Agile 2.12.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, one of the things that's top of mind at the moment was actually from an Open Jam session today. The Open Jam session was about, and Open Jam's just anyone can write up a topic and convene a group of people at a time to talk about and share experiences around that topic. And the Open Jam was about hack days. In the past, we called these FedEx days at Atlassian. We now call them Ship It days. But essentially, it's taking the company, setting aside 24 hours to really identify some new, cool, exciting stuff that everyone can work on to try and deliver more value to the customer. And there were some really interesting things that came out of this discussion. This one woman from AppFolio, who'd ran a hack day recently, you know, they had a really interesting approach to it, and they'd taken a video of the whole thing. They tried to get everyone in the company involved. And why do you want to get everyone involved? Because that's where you get great ideas, and that's where you get different opinions, and you can validate an idea quickly. So I think Hack Days is actually a really interesting session or topic for discussion from Agile 2012 today.
At Atlassian, how do you start off your Ship It Day? How do you generate ideas, and what do you do with those ideas during your Ship It days?
Okay, so we start about 2 weeks out from the actual date, and we hold brown bags, and that's basically a lunchtime session where people bring their lunch to the boardroom, and they'll share their ideas. Hey, wouldn't it be lovely if we worked on this? And you'll get people from across the company. You'll get support engineers that will come up and say, hey, this is a customer bug that's impacted 5 customers. I really reckon we should find a great way to fix this. And you'll get marketing people that share ideas, and you'll get founders, of course. You know, we have founders, Mike and Scott, and they share ideas as well. And these ideas will basically percolate over the course of a couple of weeks, and people will form into teams. And so generally what people are doing these days, because they recognize that to get stuff out there into the products as quickly as possible, they need to be polished, tested, all that sort of stuff. So they'll form a team of maybe 2, 3, 4, in some cases we've seen teams of 6, to work on a feature, a product in some cases, some internal systems work to make Atlassian more effective, and they'll then submit what we call a shipment order. And that shipment order is basically, it's what they are aimed to deliver during that innovation day.
Right.
And when the day comes around, I mean, that's what they start working on.
So can I just quickly paraphrase? Start off 2 weeks before your Ship It Day date. Lots of ideas are generated across the business. Over the two-week period, the best ideas essentially float to the top. You form some teams to work on the idea, and on the day itself, you work on the idea actively?
That's correct. I mean, it's basically tools down, everyone's working on their idea with their team.
Yeah.
We supply lunch, or we supply dinner in the office. Some people will sleep under their desks. Others will get in early in the morning.
Fun time.
Yeah. Penny Wyatt is Penny is amazing. I think I've been at 2 Ship It's in Sydney now where Penny actually won, and she was sleeping under her desk both times.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. Everyone gets involved. And it's great for the company as well, because we get new features and new products for our customers.
And so once you develop the idea, what happens to it? You test it, you validate it.
Yeah, well, in fact, what we're trying to do these days is do a lot of that testing and validation during the actual ship it. Previously, you'd do a really cool tech demo, but then you'd have to get it on the backlog and you'd have to lobby a product manager to show them the value of it. But these days, the teams will actually go to... We have a public backlog, so they'll go to that public backlog and they'll find the items that the customers have voted on and the customers find or are really passionate about. And then, you know, they'll, in some cases, call up, Skype those customers, email those customers, and ask them more information about it, you know, to assist them and validate the idea as they're working on it in that 24-hour period.
Right. Yep. Excellent. Fantastic. And so after the 24-hour period, what happens to the sort of semi or fully produced idea?
Well, the fully produced idea, if it's a successful idea, some teams will put it immediately into the product, and that'll be part of their next release.
Right.
So, I mean, that is the true measure of success, right? If you manage to get something done in 24 hours and ship it and give it to customers the following fortnight, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But, of course, there's other ideas that need a little bit more attention, need more work.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't have a designer or performance engineer in their team, and so they will return to the team's backlog, and they'll be scheduled along with the other user stories.
And how many of these ship it days do you have a year?
We run 4 of these a year.
Right. And of all the ideas that you've shipped, what's the success rate? How do you measure success?
The success rate is how many ideas actually make it into the hands of customers in a new release.
Yeah.
And I'd say we've probably, over the course of the past 20 shippers, we just held ship at 20.
Yep.
I think rough guess would be we've shipped about a quarter of those ideas.
And do you know whether they resonate once they're in the market?
Yeah, that's the beauty of, we have the analytics today to show us that people are using it.
Right.
And that's what's fantastic. You know, with the cloud solution, with the on-demand solution, we know when people are using it, we know how people are using it, we get their feedback, and then we can iterate on that functionality and continually drive it forward. And I think that's what's so exciting for me, is that, like, these days, the speed of change and the speed of delivery to customers is just accelerating. It's fantastic.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like you've got a model that works really well at Atlassian, and, you know, that everyone's committed to it. And I think that's really a telling point, that the founders, right through the people that do the code, are committed to this process and this idea of getting product to market.
Well, isn't it awesome, Nick, that Atlassian was founded on agile principles? I mean, it's built into the core, it's the DNA of the product.
Yeah, definitely. To a point that I made earlier, like, what we considered agile 3 years ago has totally changed today.
Yep.
Because the agile world in which we live has evolved, and we're continually evolving our practices as part of that. But, yeah, I mean, it's built into the company's DNA.
And that really leads us to question 5. Nice segue. So what are the trends that you're seeing in how agile is being implemented currently?
So within agile, I mean, agile is kind of an umbrella term for a number of different methodologies, and two of the key ones are Scrum and Kanban. Scrum is more iteration. It's, you know, we have an iteration of 2 weeks, and at the end of that 2-week period, we're going to deliver something to our customers. Kanban, on the other hand, is focused all on the flow. So we don't plan 2 weeks worth of work. We just have an ordered list of things that we need to get done, and as they're completed, we'll start delivering that value to our customers. And what we actually, each year, we survey the Greenhopper customers, and we surveyed our customers in early June, and the results came back just a few weeks back. And it was interesting to see that Scrum, as a well-defined process, is actually on the decline, and things like Scrumban and indeed Kanban are on the rise.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this in particular in software development teams.
And why is that, do you think?
I think there's a real move, there's a push at the moment towards an area called continuous delivery, continuous deployment.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that, you know, as we complete a user story, we don't want to hold that value up for another fortnight or another month. We want to give that value to the customer today. Because if we hold that value up until we release in a fortnight's time or whatever, then it's just waste, right? It's it's just sitting there. And so as people have done that, as people have moved towards a continuous deployment sort of environment, they found that the overhead of Scrum, the overhead of the planning sessions, the demos and the retrospectives each week or each fortnight is just too much. And so they've tried to minimize that by going to Kanban. We have this ordered backlog. We're just going to work on these items. And as we get these items completed, we'll give them to our customers.
That's fantastic. And what advice would you have for organizations, though, that, that don't do software development per se and can't sort of release that value pretty much immediately? How would they sort of use some of this thinking in their businesses? And I'm thinking of organizations that build, you know, hardware, that build roads, that build TV services, that build, I'm not quite sure what else they build, but, you know, logistic-type companies. How would we help them?
Well, I think in those circumstances, there's a number of different approaches that you can take. When we look at hardware in particular, like the production of a TV, what I've often seen in that particular scenario is that the actual hardware manufacturing will be on a Scrum timeline and the software will be on Kanban, and they will continually integrate at certain points. But I think what's key to recognize is that whatever industry you're in today, whatever product you're building, it's probably got a component of software in there somewhere. And software is driving this change to Agile in so many different organizations, industries, so many different products. So start with what you've got, right? If you can get the software team to the point where they can deliver something frequently to the hardware team to actually validate and test, that's a great first step. Now, we don't expect the hardware team's going to release a new piece of hardware to the customer, you know, every fortnight. Indeed, I was speaking with a gentleman today that, that supplies the weather monitoring equipment across the North America. Well, their hardware's in place for 20 years at a time, right?
Yep.
But they can still supply software updates to that hardware on an ongoing basis. And I think that's the key thing, you know, as we build hardware these days, we're doing that with the knowledge in our mind that we have to be able to maintain this going forward.
Yeah. So I'm just going to paraphrase again. What I've heard you say is that if, regardless of the type of industry or the type of products that you're building, there's inevitably some sort of software component involved in that process. And perhaps we could apply some of this agile thinking in that software area, and that might potentially deliver some of those benefits, and it might also flow on perhaps to your other sort of product components?
I'd like to think it would, yeah.
That you're building? Yeah.
I'd certainly like to think it would. And I think, I mean, it depends, as always, it depends, right? You know, you mentioned roads, and I wonder, I'm thinking to myself now, how would I actually construct a road in an agile fashion, right?
Yeah.
Would I really plan this, like, would I really plan this using Scrum? You know, this is what we're going to deliver. We're going to deliver the next X miles, and we're going to commit to delivering that in 2 weeks' time. Oh, well, that would be a fool's errand, right? Like, what happens if it rains? Because I can't control that. So would Kanban be more appropriate? And maybe Kanban would be in that scenario because I could actually measure my cycle time, the amount of time that I spend in progress on a kilometre of road, for instance. And how does that amount of time that we spend in progress change depending on the terrain or the type of road? And that, I think, could actually lead to better predictability into future estimates that you could then use in a road product, for instance.
Yep, fantastic. That's awesome. I like that.
I just want to give a shout-out to Katie, who's joining us from Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, Katie. And so she was responding to what we were talking about earlier. She was saying, having a company culture that encourages all to give opinions is key. Cross-functional collaboration is key. I think we all want to work at Atlassian, Nick.
We're hiring.
Atlassian somewhere is hiring. You can come and live in Sydney. So the last question then, you've answered it, I guess. Are there different flavors of Agile? We've talked about Scrum and Kanban, but are there any others that we should be mindful of or look out for?
I think one thing that product managers, certainly in a software world, should be mindful of is XP, or Extreme Programming.
Yep.
Another methodology that falls under the Agile umbrella. But XP, Extreme Programming, is much more focused on the actual technical practices. And these include things like paired programming or test-driven development. And for those who aren't familiar, paired programming is where two engineers will sit down with one another and write code, so solve a user story, implement a user story. They'll do it together. And the thinking is that, you know, two sets of eyes on the one piece of code at the same time leads to higher quality software, less rework, less bugs that actually customers encounter. I think it's useful for product managers to be aware of things like extreme programming, just so that when they're talking with their engineers, they get a feel for what their engineers are going through. I remember very early on in the piece when I learned about test-driven development, I asked my team, I said, why aren't we doing test-driven development? And all these roadblocks were thrown up. Oh, we don't do it for this reason, we don't do it for that reason, we don't do it for this reason. Well, at the end of the day, if that is best practice for a software development team, why aren't we doing it? And as a product manager, you want to be cognizant of that, because if they're not doing these best practices today from an engineering perspective, from a technical perspective, if you're not setting aside enough time for them to do that, then you're creating yourself a potential bottleneck or headache in the future if you build up technical debt. And then you've got to pay down, that's what we call it. We call it paying down technical debt all at once, which can be absolutely devastating to the lifeblood of a product.
Yeah.
If you've got to take a product off the market for 3, 6, 9 months to go and fix a problem that you've got, that's terrible. So
absolutely.
I think Scrum, Kanban, and XP are three of the methodologies that all product managers, certainly in a software world, should be aware of.
Yep, fantastic.
I love the idea of paired programming. I know they use it quite extensively at Microsoft. I think that paired into every other function would increase productivity as well.
Now, that's a great point, right? That's
I
a
like
great
that,
point.
Cindy.
Like, I can imagine if I had, you know, two sets of eyeballs on every blog post that was written, no doubt they would be higher quality blog posts, right? I don't know. I mean, the cost of shipping a blog post and fixing a blog post, if I find a typo, is not nearly as high as the cost of shipping software and fixing a bug in the software once I've shipped it. So, you know, it kind of depends on what you're trying to do. But, yeah, for some other areas outside of software development, pairing can definitely be valuable.
So there is a process in place for writing blog posts if you want to speak to people who are editors, which brings up another issue. There was a recent blog post saying that we need product editors as opposed to product managers. We need people who are editing the features to avoid feature creep and to put in the theory of constraints to guarantee the success of the product. So yet another topic of discussion.
Yeah. There's lots to talk about, but I have to mention one thing, though. Martin Erickson, I think he's in the UK, London.
Yeah.
Hi, Martin. He says, Agile is a state of mind, not a process. And I think maybe that's what I was trying to say earlier on in our discussion, Nick, that, you know, we've always fixed bugs. We've never shied away from it. It's now got a nice name.
Name gives people something to rally around, right? I mean, you look at what we're doing here this week at Agile 2012. If it didn't have a name, how would these 1,800 people find each other, come together and share their experiences, right?
Sure.
I mean, it is a great way. Naming it, giving it a name is a great way to get people together, to talk about it openly and to learn and interact from one another. You know, at the end of the day, you don't want to do Agile. Like, to that point, you don't want to do Agile. You want to be Agile.
Yeah.
You want to be continually changing, evolving, adapting. It's a great
point. Absolutely.
Yeah,
I really like that point. I think that's a good one to make, Martin. Nick, any final words for product managers and Agile?
Any final words for product managers at Agile? Look, I would say if any product managers are at Agile 2012, they need to go and see Jeff Patton's session. That would just be my killer thing. Every year I see Jeff Patton, and every year I learn something new. So he's one to put on your calendar.
Okay, excellent. Fantastic. And when does it end?
Oh, we finish up this Friday. We've got two closing keynotes this Friday. As always, there's no opening keynote, and there are a couple of closing keynotes. Look, it's a great week, right? it's an absolutely fantastic week. If you get the opportunity to go to any Agile conference in the future, any product management, if you get the chance to go, do it.
Yep, excellent. Fantastic. 10 o'clock, Sydney time. Done in an hour.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Nick. Thank you, Adrian, for co-hosting. Thank you to our tweeters. We can continue tweeting afterwards. This has been another weekly episode of the Global Product Management Talk. Join us next week when our speaker will be Bill Reed, who is the Managing Director and co-founder of the Aventi Group. He will be talking about product marketing methodology and how the discipline of product marketing has changed in the last few years, something that people have been asking for. So join us next week at the same time. We will be 4 p.m. Pacific time, so I hope that someone from BrainMates can join us as co-host to talk about product marketing. And
love to.
Yeah, great. So thank you again, Nick and Ed Lassian. Please visit our website at PRODMGMTTALK for the updates. Podcasts will be available for listening on your mobile devices, and the tweet transcript will be available on SlideShare. Thanks again to our sponsor, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management. Visit them at AIPMM.com and subscribe to receive their Product Management News and Views email newsletter to stay up to date on their upcoming trainings, webinars, and other educational events and certifications. This is Cindy Solomon thanking you again for another great session, and look forward to seeing you offline. Take care, Adrian and Nick.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.